they wouldn't be here today, but I told them about the audio.
Yeah, so, oh yeah. Yeah, I'm used to.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to introduce Mary Rice Hassan, who is a fellow in the Ethics and Public Policy Center's Catholic Studies program, has researched and written extensively about the Girl Scouts USA and pro-life concerns. An attorney and mother of seven, Mrs. Hansen is working on a book exploring Catholic women's views on sexual morality and reproduction. She previously co-authored a study on media ratings published in Pediatrics, June 2011, and co-authored a leading book on Catholic homeschooling. Mrs. Hassan writes for the Catholic News Agency, several Catholic parenting websites, the International Human Rights website, mercatornet.com, and blogs at Words from Cana, a frequent speaker on family issues. Mrs. Hassan has been interviewed by a wide range of media outlets, including CNN, EWTN, and the BBC, the Associated Press, and local radio and print publications. I present Ms. Hassan.
Thank you.
I hope I pronounce it.
Yeah, no, you're good. It's great to be here. I think some of you may not realize how fortunate you are to be in air conditioning and to have lights with the storm that hit last night. I actually left my house this morning looking at a tree that had landed on our roof. And we have no power, nothing. Fortunately, no one was hurt. That's the big thing. You know, roofs you can repair. But it was quite a night. We were up most of the night after that happened. And I didn't get to print out my talk till this morning, but everything worked out just fine. So what did you think about that Supreme Court decision about Obamacare?
Stunning.
Stunning. That was exactly what came to my mind. And I was, in the first hour after that came down, I was actually listening to talk radio, and someone played a clip of President Obama being interviewed by George Stephanopoulos, no less, where he was asked, is Obamacare, is the mandate a tax? And Barack Obama spent a good 3 minutes or so denying it, professing outrage that someone would accuse him of levying a tax, that this was a tax, and then saying it was all part of a cultural agenda against him. And I couldn't help but think exactly, you know, what happened months down the road. His very own lawyer argues it's a tax. The Supreme Court decides it's a tax. What came to mind is the phrase, truth in labeling. Barack Obama has a truth in labeling problem. It's truth in labeling is something that concerns all of us. We go to the grocery store and you check the ingredients. One of my children's friends has a very severe peanut allergy. It matters whether people say truly what's in the cookies or whatever he's going to buy. It's a matter of life or death. Sometimes it's trivial. I was at the grocery store and my youngest, we try to limit sugar, and my youngest came running up to me with a bottle of Welch's grape juice, and it said, no sugar added. He said, Mom, can we get this? There's no sugar. It wasn't what was said. It was what was really true and what was really inside. It was the half-truth that was so deceptive. So sometimes truth in labeling is about something that's trivial. But truth in labeling matters when it comes to the decisions we make for our children. Decisions like, who is going to mentor them? Who's going to influence them? Who's going to teach them? What groups should they belong to? What group should I volunteer for as a parent, investing my time and my money? Truth in labeling is the Girl Scouts problem. That's their fundamental problem. Girl Scouts were not really even on my radar a couple of years ago. My girls didn't do Girl Scouts. I just sort of vaguely thought of it as, you know, something that was a little bit more on the liberal side. But I really didn't think there was much much to worry about. I didn't know very much. And then because I'm a writer and I pay attention to family issues and things, a news story caught my eye about a brochure that was distributed at the UN at a girls-only event. And it was a brochure on HIV and AIDS prevention. And it was appalling. It was telling people who were HIV positive that they could hide their status from whoever they were having sex with. It had explicit descriptions of what, you know, people do, all the terrible varieties of sexual activity that people can engage in. And I thought, first of all, I pulled it up. I you know, did my research and found the actual brochure and was appalled, but I was also skeptical. So I thought, it cannot be. And the accusation was the Girl Scouts were the ones who had held this girls-only event. So this was being handed out to girl delegates who had gone to this event at the UN. So part of me was really skeptical. I said, how can that be? The Girl Scouts enjoy such a great reputation. How can it be that they're involved in something like this and people don't know? Parents care about their kids. How can this be? So I was really skeptical. So I spent months and months just digging on my own. I talked with people who knew things, but I'm a lawyer by training. I like to see the facts. I don't like to rely on someone else's interpretation of the facts. And I think that's one of the things here. Even as I give you some facts, I think every person has to do their own homework, because sometimes what matters is not the fact, but the significance that you attribute to it. What does that mean? How do I factor that into the decisions I make? So I did a lot of research, and just what I found was deeply disturbing in terms of the Girl Scouts' involvement in promoting sexual and reproductive health and rights, which we all know is abortion, comprehensive sex ed. Just a little asterisk. When you say comprehensive sex ed, I think people of our generation think, well, it's just a lot of plumbing. Comprehensive sex ed has nothing to do with plumbing. You can talk about plumbing in about 5 minutes. It has everything to do with teaching kids to do all sorts of things, teaching them that sex of any kind is acceptable. It doesn't matter with who, it doesn't matter with how many, it doesn't matter when. It's your decision, because sexual pleasure is the be-all and end-all. So comprehensive sex ed is code word for an attitude. It's code word for a mindset. It's code word for a way of approaching the gift of sexuality that is completely at odds with anyone coming from a traditional Judeo-Christian background. So don't make the mistake when you hear comprehensive sex ed of thinking, there's nothing wrong with that. Kids need information. I have a very good friend who said that to me when Fairfax County introduced, or was debating actually, a very explicit sex ed program. She didn't look at it, but she said, comprehensive sex ed, kids need information. There's nothing wrong with information. Every piece of information is presented with a perspective. And so it wasn't just information. Her child was being sold a view of sexuality that decoupled it not only from a couple. In other words, sex is something you do as a person. Maybe you do it by yourself. Maybe you do it with a toy. Maybe you do it with one person, a male, a female, two people. That's all good. You get to choose. Comprehensive sex ed goes into the details, tells them how, then talks about how to be safe doing it, which is rather ludicrous. One of the pieces of research I was reading, something put out by Coalition for Adolescent Girls, which we'll talk about a little later. They were doing cataloging a lot of research that had been done in African countries, some other underdeveloped countries, and they were talking about the success of their sex ed programs. And they said the girls were reporting that they were delaying the start of intercourse. The girls were reporting that they had fewer partners. But then there were two lines in there. They said, however, it's curious that the biomarkers don't support that. In other words, and then they said sexually transmitted infections rose and the number of pregnancies rose. So when you hear statistics about how effective comprehensive sex ed is, you got to go behind it. Are they looking at self-reported data about whether kids are delaying sex or not having sex at all? Or are they actually looking and tying it to what happens, to what kids do? Anyway, so I felt like when I found the facts that I did and was so troubled by what I found, I really felt like, as a parent and as someone who cares about what happens to this culture, that I needed to let other parents know. So one of the first things I want to tell you is I don't have a stake in this. I don't have girls who are in it or who've been in it. I don't reap a financial advantage. I don't have a connection with, you know, anyone who's promoting any particular perspective or alternative groups. I just really care about what happens to the kids in our culture. I care about young women because they are the key to the next generation. And to the extent they internalize attitudes that are not just damaging to themselves, but will detract from their relationships and hinder our culture, it's a really huge deal. It's something I care about. So, a second kind of disclaimer, I don't want to disparage. I'm going to present a lot of negative stuff here, but I don't want to disparage the good intentions and dedication of a lot of good people on the local level. There are a lot of Girl Scout troops where people run them with the best of intentions. They don't bring any of the garbage in. They're really trying to do a good job. And I'll make the case at the end of my talk that however good their intentions are, however good their local group is, it's still a huge problem. But understand that when I'm talking here about the Girl Scouts, when I'm talking here about the Girl Scouts, I am not trying to disparage the efforts of any individual person. Well, we will see. This is interesting. Just lost the. There we go. Okay. So third, I do have a handout with extensive resources, a resource list, but also it's like 10 or 11 pages of problems that are in the Girl Scouts curriculum. I am not going to go over those specific problems today. What I did was I created a handout with that and gave you an online site for where you can access that. But that's the kind of specific, it will be coming. I've been told it was copied. They're trying to find it. Hopefully it will be here before the end of this talk. So if you see some stacks put there by the end of the talk, please do get them. So you've got to do your own homework.
Is it available online?
I'll make sure it is. Probably through one of the Girl Scout resources that I'll give you. And I'll have this slide up at the end of the talk as well, but if you want to just jot down some of those resources too. Because these are websites that were created principally by concerned families, by families whose girls had participated in the Girl Scouts, and they were troubled by what they found. And I've found it to be very accurate. Again, you may disagree with some of the significance of how important something is that they will point out, but they're accurate. They're accurate. They've done their homework. So these are very good resources if you're looking to find out exactly what's in the books, what people are saying, what are the troubling connections with the Girl Scouts. All right, why do we need to know? Why does this matter? For a lot of us, it matters personally. Maybe you've got children who are in Girl Scouts, granddaughters, nieces, nephews, your neighbors. I had the unhappy circumstance this year for the first time when my cute little neighbor knocked on the door to sell her Girl Scout cookies, just saying, sorry, I can't buy them. I really can't buy them. And I didn't feel like I could trouble a 6 or 7 year old with a long explanation of why, but I did talk to her mother, which she understood. She understood where I was coming from. So for every one of us, there may be a personal reason why you're here, but it's important to know because the Girl Scouts are almost iconic in terms of their place in our society. All right, the numbers are important. Truth and labeling. Let me come back to my theme here for a minute. What I'm going to talk about, because I like facts, I'm going to give you what the Girl Scouts say about particular things, because I think it's important to take them at their word. But we're also going to talk, just as we found out with, the truth and labeling problem with Welch's grape juice, where they said no sugar added, sometimes it's not what they say, it's what they don't say. And then we're going to look at what they do. So that's how we're going to get at the this whole idea. So why does it matter? Because there are so many girls involved in Girl Scouts. And they've suffered a little bit of a decline, but they've started this last annual report showed a little uptick. And they are really increasing their outreach, especially to Hispanic youth, which I think is cause for concern. Because so many of, and particularly in urban areas, where you have a lot of parents who want to encourage their children to become connected, first-generation Americans, who want their girls to be leaders. They want them to be connected to the American culture. The Girl Scouts looks like a great answer. And a lot of them, I'm Catholic, a lot of them are Catholic girls. And they are going to become part of an organization that has some very, very serious problems. So numbers are a good reason why this matters. Another reason why it matters is because the Girl Scouts are out front and center claiming to represent girls' voices. They do this internationally. They do this nationally. The larger Girl Scout movement does the same thing. They claim to speak for 10 million girls worldwide. But it matters at places like the UN. It matters at youth conferences. As I dug into the research, I was amazed at how much goes on the international level with youth conferences and AIDS conferences for youth and environmental conferences for youth. Who's attending? Girl leaders. Girl leaders. So the Girl Scouts matter because they are setting up for themselves the position that we represent the premier leadership experience for girls, that's their line, but that they represent the voice of girls. And their Girl Scouts Research Institute is doing the same. They're putting out a lot of research, networking with a lot of different organizations with that same goal in mind. They will tell the rest of our society what girls think, what girls care about, what matters to them. It matters, too, because the Girl Scouts they're not self-supporting. They get their funding from all the rest of us. In fact, in their latest annual report, they get over $2 million in government funding from grants. So you and I are helping to support the Girl Scout activities, whether we ever buy a cookie or not. Sponsorship is a huge reason why people are troubled with the Girl Scouts. The Girl Scouts can be who they want to be. When I talk about their truth and labeling problem, my concern is people are assuming they stand for things that they no longer stand for, that perhaps they once did, but that they no longer did. I'm not saying the Girl Scouts shouldn't exist. I'm not saying that the Girl Scouts don't have a right to support abortion or to connect with pro-abortion organizations. They can be who they want to be in the best of the American tradition. But parents have a right to know. We have a right to expect truth in labeling. So let's begin. The first thing that typically comes up, just an aside, I'll give you one positive thing. Pretty much everything else I'm going to say about the Girl Scouts are things that I disagree with, things that I think they're wrong about. This is one statement made by Michelle Tompkins, their Girl Scout spokeswoman, with whom I agree 100%. She's right. The Girl Scouts are a big part of the culture wars. The rest of her statement went on to say that the Girl Scouts were simply being used as other people's agendas, conservatives, which I don't agree with that. But I thought, okay, there's my one point of agreement with the Girl Scouts. All right, the big thing that people start out, articles, there's been a lot of press coverage about the Girl Scouts. The first thing that people say is they have a relationship with Planned Parenthood. That's the very first thing. It's the talking point. It's where the media coverage goes right away. It's a flashpoint in our culture. This is what the Girl Scouts say when people say, do you have a relationship with Planned Parenthood? And the quotes here that I use in this talk are from their website, their FAQs, but there are many, many, many instances of the CEO saying the same thing, their spokespeople saying the same thing. These are well-vetted statements. This is what the Girl Scouts say. This is what they mean. So the Girl Scouts of the USA does not have a relationship or partnership with Planned Parenthood. Parents hear that and they say, oh, phew, thank God. I can go buy the cookies. I can put my daughter in Girl Scouts. They don't have a relationship with Planned Parenthood. All right, put your lawyer hats on. Let's read this like a lawyer. What they don't say. Girl Scouts of the USA is the first part of their statement. Who is that? That's the official national organization, the corporate entity residing in New York, you know, owning the big building. Girl Scouts of the USA, they say nothing about where the action really is. Girl Scouts, regional councils, or local troops. That's where you find the Planned Parenthood connections, for the most part, right now. In the past, I think there was more of an openness on their part to acknowledge that relationship, which we'll get to that in a minute. So that's the first point. Is that true? Girl Scouts of the USA? Okay, yes, so far as they're talking about that, but that's not where the action is, so it's misleading. Does not, present tense. Does not. It tells you nothing about yesterday, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Have they ever had a relationship with Planned Parenthood? There's very good evidence that they did. But their current statement says is strictly present tense. True on its face, correct? Next line, relationship or partnership. Okay, what do they mean by that? I had an extensive conversation with someone within the Catholic youth ministry field who is a staunch defender of the Girl Scouts, who insisted that it was wrong for me to say that Girl Scouts had a partnership or relationship with Planned Parenthood because in his mind, those words meant a signed contract, you know, dotted line, fill in the blanks, everything, you know, a tidy corporate document is what they meant by a relationship or partnership. That's baloney. That's not how the ordinary person construes that. But that is, I think, how their lawyers crafted it as a defensible statement. It says nothing about the collaboration, the co-sponsorship, or the coalition memberships that they belong to, which again, there's plenty of documented evidence that they are involved, not just with Planned Parenthood, but pro-abortion organizations, in terms of collaboration, co-sponsorship, coalitions, things like that. Final point to take issue with their statement. They restrict that statement to Planned Parenthood. They say nothing about coalitions. They say nothing about affiliates. They say nothing about projects. And this was an eye-opener to me when I started doing research on this. You Google Girl Scouts and Planned Parenthood, and these days you're likely to come up with the resources and websites on our side. And you'll find a few of their statements, you know, like the FAQ statement. But when you dig deep, you can still find, when I first started looking into this about it, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, it took me just 10 minutes to find a verifiable, documented connection, which I found through a council document and the Planned Parenthood partnership website, showing that they had a relationship, they were official partners. It took me 10 minutes of Googling. Now it will take longer because one of the things that's happening is Planned Parenthood does very few things on the youth front in the name of Planned Parenthood. They title these projects and these efforts with all sorts of other names. So unless you know what those names are, you may come up empty if you're looking. You may not know what they are. So it's. I think this is going to become something that you're going to be less able to actually connect directly, that there's a relationship there. But here's what they do. Here's the one that I found in 10 minutes and checked last week. It's still up there. It's one of the few things that's still on the internet. Planned Parenthood runs a project called Real Life, Real Talk. It promotes sex ed. It's pro-abortion. But the whole theme, Real Life, Real Talk, is let's talk to kids about sex. Let's give them that perspective of what sex is, that personal pleasure-seeking, do it your own way, however many, however times, in whatever context, sex. That's what this is about. Who do they list as their partners? Girl Scouts, New York Penn Pathways. And I found the council document talking about those relationships. And in fact, the Planned Parenthood document, the annual report that referred to this in the first place. Okay, this is a real live example of why that FAQ statement, Girl Scouts does not have a relationship with Planned Parenthood, is just false. It's false. But they, as written, their statement is a defensible statement, as a lawyer would look at it. But anyway, the evidence is right there. Nor do they say what they did. This, if you haven't seen this, go to the internet. You can find it on any of the resources I've got. In 2004, Kathy Cloninger, who was the president of the or CEO of the Girl Scouts until last year when they took on Anna Marie Chavez, she was on the Today Show and was interviewed and talked quite openly, quite boastfully, I might say, about their partnerships with Planned Parenthood. And she said, "We partner with Planned Parenthood organizations across the country, not just one little place, not one isolated little council, across the country, to bring information-based sex education to girls." Again, that information-based. It's not your old-fashioned plumbing. It's the whole comprehensive sex ed baggage of that perspective on sex, that how to do it, and that completely apart from any sense of morality. Now, what has happened since she said that and since the Girl Scouts have come under heat is, one, they haven't really, she's never come out and repudiated that, to my knowledge. But by the same token, they walk that back and they say, oh, that was just a statement. Well, the Girl Scouts kind of have a history of doing that. They, back in 2000, there was a movie that was shown at the White House called That's a Family, a movie that I've seen, had seen apart from the Girl Scouts. I didn't realize this connection until much later. But it's a movie that's designed to teach younger children. In fact, GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, which is in most of your public schools now, or has relationships with most of your public schools, has this on their curriculum for earlier grades, elementary grades, primary grades. And this video, this documentary, That's a Family, shows every single kind of family except your traditional married couple. You've got gays, you've got straights, you've got single parents, you've got this, and it's just a crazy perspective that you're trying to give to kids. Anyway, this documentary, when it was first shown, was shown at the White House. The Girl Scouts were in attendance. The woman was, I forget what her title was, a vice president or something, Connie Matsui. Anyway, she made a statement. She got up at the White House and said, what a great film. We are going to promote it, and we're going to show it everywhere. She caught so much flack from traditionalists that, of course, they walked that back. And they said, well, we have made no formal endorsement. Again, those qualifications. But the point is, they've got a track record of, you know, their people saying what's true, thinking, well, of course, everyone's going to welcome this. And then they catch flack and they say, well, it's not formal, it's not official, it's not this and not that, and hope everyone's going to just let it go. Beware the red herring. That's the way to look at this whole argument about Planned Parenthood. This is not the most important point. Anytime you're talking with someone about Girl Scouts, don't be drawn off into a conversation about whether or not they support Planned Parenthood. Okay? It is completely a red herring. It's their attempt to say, look over there at what we don't do, when the real problem is over here. It's in their general promotion of organizations and a perspective that promotes abortion, premarital sex, sexuality of all sorts. Okay, so beware the red herring. If you see that as a talking point on the other side, it's misdirection. It's trying to get you off topic. Don't go there if you're in a position to be talking about it. You can make the case, nope, the documentation is out there, but that is not the substance of the problem. It's a symptom. The Planned Parenthood connection is a symptom. The real problem is this. It's the position they take about sexuality, birth control, and abortion. So what do they say? Truth and labeling, let's start with what they say. The Girl Scouts, this statement, does not take a position or develop materials on these issues. They go on to say that when topics of a sensitive nature, or program participation, I should qualify that, of a sensitive nature is going to be undertaken, that the Girl Scouts USA has directed councils to get parental permission for that. That, too, is a very lawyerly statement, which we'll talk about later. But anyway, the main point here is they say, we don't take a position. How could you possibly have a problem with what we do? We don't take a position. No position? What does that mean? Let's dig a little deeper. And so what I'm going to spend the bulk of my time talking about here is what the Girl Scouts don't say. They have relationships that's with organizations in which they support financially, promoting them to the girls, supporting their efforts, engaging in training with them, coalition building. They have relationships with groups whose sole purpose is to promote abortion, reproductive health, and rights. Who do they hold up as role models to our girls? By and large, it is women who are identified with the pro-abortion stance, the pro-LGBT stance, pro-contraceptive, sex ed. Those are the role models. And they, for example, in their convention that was back in last fall, they caught flack over some of the high-profile people that they had speaking, people who were long active in promoting particular viewpoints, positions, shall we say, on abortion, sexuality, things like that. And they said, But these high-profile people were only 8 or something out of 120 speakers, whatever. I don't have those numbers in front of me. But it was a very disproportionate amount. It was like, come on, you're complaining about just a few people. And we had so many speakers. And unfortunately, I think, again, people with rightful concerns made too much over the red herring. The red herring was the mayor, who is a lesbian, who came and opened the convention. Okay. She's the mayor. Don't make a big deal out of it. If that were the only thing, I don't think people would make such a big deal about it. The problem is, it fits with the entire rest of the speaker lineup and the agenda that they have put forward. And so people seized on that, but I think in terms of public opinion and sort of spinning the argument, I think we lost that. We lost that because, again, they were able to point to the red herring and people said, come on, she's the mayor, she's welcoming them. How can you complain about that? And that was not the problem. The problem was the people who were Planned Parenthood board members, the people who had devoted hours and years of their advocacy work to promoting LGBT causes, to promoting pro-abortion causes, to setting up teen clinics, things like that. That was the problem, but it got totally missed because, again, we sort of went for the red herring. Resources. The handout that I have, I pray that it will get here before we're done. Oh, it did. Okay, good. Anyway, don't spend time looking at it now. You can find all that online, but the resources that the Girl Scouts give, and this is where the problems with the Girl Scouts do get down to the local level. The books that they use, there was a major curriculum shift, major change a number of years ago, where they threw out the old books and in with the new, the Journey series. The Journey series is about discover, connect, and take action. It's advocacy. They're teaching these girls new things. But their ultimate aim is to teach them to be advocates about what, quote, issues they care about. Who helps them see what those issues are? In the grand scale, it's the Girl Scouts by what they put in front of them. On a local troop level, it could be something very good. It could be someone who says, we're going to collect diapers for a home for unwed mothers. So this is where it gets confusing. But the resources themselves have significant problems. And the Girl Scouts responded to some of those criticisms. Their feet were held to the fire. So in February, they came out with a statement where they said, okay, we're making some changes. And their changes consisted of saying that they will reprint some materials. And for the existing materials that they still have in their stores, they will provide stickers so you can cover the offending references. What are some of the offending references? One of the worst was, well, two that come to mind, a graphic comic book called Persepolis that I looked at that and I was just appalled. You know, I'm a mature woman. I shouldn't be shocked by what I see, but I was shocked at what was in this novel that was promoted to the girls as a book that they might want to read. And the author was held up as someone who was, you know, a voice for good, a role model. Not a voice for good. You know, so these problems were serious. Another book was The Gate to Woman's Country. Just offered a brutal, degrading view of women and sexuality. And they promoted it to the girls as a read to give them a perspective on a girl utopia. And it was just horrendous. Those were two of the resources they removed. But there are so many, as you can see by this, 11-page document, there are so many problems that remain. So what they've done is made a few adjustments in response to criticism to get rid of the worst, but who's to say there isn't going to be something next time? When they created these resources, that was the product of years spent in development. It was the product of millions of dollars spent to write these materials. They knew what they were doing. Isn't it interesting that all of the mistakes, the problems, are sort of the same vein? Sexual, reproductive health, LGBT issues. It's promoting a certain viewpoint. So these problems are still there. What else, when the Girl Scouts say they take no position on sex, abortion, and contraception, what else don't they say? They don't tell you, and most people don't know, that their leadership, the national leadership, the people who are setting direction for the organization, are people profoundly committed to a view of sexuality that is at odds with traditional Judeo-Christian morality. They have board members, people who fund Planned Parenthood or pro-abortion groups. For the most part, it's other pro-abortion groups. People who've dedicated years of their own lives to LGBT advocacy. People who've worked extensively on promoting contraception to teens, that's the answer to teen pregnancy. Their leadership is like a classic resume. If you looked at the resumes of these people, except for the ones who are pure business, you know, the financial people and things like that, although the treasurer for the Girl Scouts is someone who worked for Kathleen Sebelius and herself donated money to George Tiller, or accepted a campaign contribution, sorry, from George Tiller, the abortionist. Who was tragically killed, tragically in terms of his soul. I think everyone needs time to repent. But anyway, their leadership, if you look at the resumes of the people who are in charge, the people who are crafting their alliances, who are forging the future, who are setting the leadership objectives for the girls who participate, they don't believe what traditional folks believe. They are hardcore advocates for positions on sex, abortion, contraception, the LGBT issue. They're hardcore advocates for everything that most people whose girls are in the Girl Scouts would not go for. And I find it interesting, just as an aside, because I probably won't get to it later, the Girl Scouts' own research institute, their whole thing is what girls say. So they researched or surveyed girls and youth about their positions on abortion. It came up actually very pro-life. So they don't even, it's not like they're listening to their own constituency either. They have their own agenda that they are bent on pursuing. And then finally, what the Girl Scouts don't say is the funding, the support, the financial and material support that they give to organizations that are promoting that kind of an agenda. So, go back to that statement. What do they say? We take no position. Question it. Do the homework. They absolutely take a position because of the relationships that they engage in, the people they hold up as role models, the resources that they refer girls to, their own leadership and what they're committed to, and the money. Just a point on role models. I thought it was rather arrogant, actually, of the Girl Scouts when they were getting all this criticism back in January, February. There was a lot of heat on them for their resources and some of their actions. And they launched their new campaign to get her there. Their goal is to have what they call gender-balanced leadership in the U.S. in all professions within one generation. What does that mean? 50-50 corporate boards, 50-50, you know, leadership representation at all the companies, 50-50 in the professions. That's another whole problematic area, which I'm not going to address today. But in their launch of this campaign, right after Kathleen Sebelius issued the regulations requiring coverage for preventative services that would include contraception, right after she did that, who did they highlight at this kickoff campaign? Kathleen Sebelius, Nancy Pelosi. People like that. They had a few Republicans. One of the Republican high-profile people who was in their news people was Kay Bailey Hutchinson, whose last time I checked, her National Right to Life voting record was like 70%. And I thought, well, okay, she's not so bad. And then I saw she came out with a very forceful statement in support of Planned Parenthood and extremely critical of any efforts to cut off funding to them. They know who their friends are. And those are the people they highlight. Every, you know, those press releases highlighting these women as role models for the girls about what they can aspire to. They're pro-abortion women, and they know that. That's very deliberate because it reflects who they are. It reflects the ideology of the leadership themselves. Okay, so Girl Scouts, the right way to think of them is that regardless of what they put in front of a local girl, the reality is they are part of the pro-abortion sisterhood. The network of women's groups and organizations that really believe, and I think they really genuinely believe this, that the solution to poverty, the solution to women's empowerment, the solution to women's career success and gender equality is for women to have complete control over when, how, and if they have children. And Hillary Clinton has made several statements to that effect just in the past few weeks. And what does that require? Of course, it requires handing out contraception like it's candy. And it requires abortion as a backup. And that's what they're dedicated to. And so some of the groups I want to talk about here, real quickly, are WAGS. WAGS stands for the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts. It's referred to as the umbrella organization for all the scouting, Girl Scouting organizations worldwide. Coalition for Adolescent Girls. It's an international coalition of people who aim to fight poverty, or organizations that aim to fight poverty. You look at their members list, it's all the lefty groups. It's all the women reproductive rights groups. Why are the Girl Scouts on that? For one, it's international. But two, the purpose is fighting poverty, but a central plank in that agenda is sexual and reproductive health and rights. Why are the Girl Scouts in that? They're in that because they can, because they think they can get away with that. They don't promote that to people. You have to dig to find that. But that's where their heart is. That's where what their leaders believe. CARE, they had a campaign called The Power of Girls with CARE. CARE is a pro-abortion organization that acts worldwide. And it wasn't until they came under criticism again, from principally from a lot of these what I call concerned families who have these websites. They have scrubbed those connections. You can still find the evidence of their Power of Girls campaign between the Girl Scouts and CARE on CARE's website, even though the Girl Scouts have now removed it from their website. And that's something that I remember when I first started getting into this, some of the former Girl Scout families that I spoke to said, oh, they're scrubbing the websites, and you know, as soon as we talk about something, it disappears. And I thought, oh, come on, isn't that a little conspiratorial? It's true. It's true. I've seen it with my own eyes. Something comes to light, they start to get some attention, boom, it disappears. Timothy Higdon, one of the he is director of external advocacy for the Girl Scouts, called Little Heed. He's a longtime LGBT activist. His profile is no longer on the leadership team. Same with another person, Lori Wesley, big time abortion advocate. Bing, just disappears from their leadership page. So they're part of the pro-abortion sisterhood. You see that in their choice of the liberal politicians that they emulate and honor and pull in. You see it in their embrace of the feminist media. If you look at the Girl Scouts blog, who do they cite the PR references? Girl Scouts Ana Maria Chavez, the new CEO, was featured in an article on Jezebel. Jezebel? When your kids are not around, go look at the website Jezebel. Okay, it's completely radical feminist pro-abortion, you know, just vile at times. Marie Claire magazine, one of the first things that happened in the first few months after Ana Maria was, sort of highlighted. She's like their rock star now, their new CEO. They did a feature on her in Marie Claire magazine, a little puff piece. What's in Ana Maria's purse? Marie Claire magazine is full of sex tips, love tips, you know, all this stuff you don't want your kids to read. It's linked right through from the Girl Scouts blog. Go buy a copy, they told the girls. Go buy a copy of Marie Claire magazine. And Marie Claire's publisher was one of the women who was featured at the To Get Her There launch in New York, a woman who has a history of just vile anti-Catholicism against the church in its efforts in the Philippines to keep some restrictions to keep the abortion liberalization out. Just the ad campaigns that Marie Claire has undertaken against the Catholic Church are just, they're appalling. They're appalling. This is who they highlight. This is who they're holding hands with. And they make no apologies because they think you won't know or you won't care, because all you'll care about is whether the girls in your local troop, oh, they have such a wonderful leader, oh, they do great activities, they're getting such leadership experience. Maybe true, but at what cost? Who are they identifying with? Who is held out for them as the example of who they should aspire to be? So let's talk a little bit about relationships, because this is a huge deal, and it's one of the things that's gotten some media attention, rightfully so. The Girl Scouts is a member of something called WAGS. Again, it's one of those things when I first started researching this, it was WAGS, WAGS, WAGS. What the heck is WAGS? The World Association of Girl Scouts and Girl Guides and Girl Scouts. the umbrella organization. Girl Scouts USA is a founding member. Girl Scouts USA and WAGS have a World Foundation, a not-for-profit 501c3, just for those two organizations based in New York, so people can donate to WAGS through this World Foundation, simply apart from all the fundraising that they do for WAGS in the context of Girl Scout activities. So what do Girl Scouts USA say about WAGS? And you'll understand in a few minutes why I'm so concerned about WAGS. Girl Scouts says, we're one of 145 member states or organizations of WAGS. What do you think when you hear someone is one of 145? You think, you know, they're one of many, they don't have much impact, you know, they're the tail, they're the caboose, they're not important. Okay, so think of that. That's the impression they intend to create. We're one of 145. And then they say, and we do not always take the same positions as WAGS. We don't always endorse the same programs that they do. Okay? What else do they say? Because WAGS is this umbrella body for Girl Scouts, they say, well, us belonging to WAGS is kind of like the U.S. belonging to the U.N. Okay, we don't agree with everything, and that's certainly true about the U.S., right? We fight all sorts of things tooth and nail, or at least we used to under prior administrations. We don't agree with everything, but you got to be in the conversation. You got to have a seat at the table. So that's what they say. Well, we don't agree with everything they say, but we value that seat at the table. Okay, what they don't say is this. WAGS, on the world stage, everything, every public statement they make claims to speak on behalf of 10 million members. Who constitutes one-third of those members? The Girl Scouts USA. They may be one out of 145 countries, member countries or organizations, but they constitute one-third of WAG's membership. That's a lot of clout. That's a lot of clout. They're founding members of WAGS. Anyone who's founded anything, been on a board, you give the founder deference. You listen to what they have to say, even when they're no longer on your board. They're founding members. If they wanted to speak up and direct which direction WAGS was going in, they could. And so the big thing to realize is they say they value a seat at the table. They sit there mute. There is not one time, not one statement that where the Girl Scouts have ever come out and criticized, disagreed with, or even qualified their approval or support of what WAGS does in their name in the sexual and reproductive rights arena. Not one. The Vatican has a seat at the table at the UN, and they're very effective. Why? Because they open their mouths. Because they argue, because even as a tiny, tiny state, they succeed in getting language excluded, as they did in the recent Rio conference, that supports reproductive rights. For Girl Scouts USA to say, well, we don't agree, but we value our seat at the table, and do nothing, what's the implication there? They support what's going on. They could do something, they have chosen not to. Why? Again, because the leadership of the Girl Scouts is reflexively liberal. That's their default option. Their default option is who they are. They're pro-abortion, pro-contraception, pro-LGBT. That is who they are. So they don't have a problem with what goes on in their name, represented by WAGS. And again, you see that in terms of where they put their money, their leadership, and that sort of thing. And one of the handouts you have is an article that I wrote for Catholic News Agency on the leadership of the Girl Scouts and those connections. So I'm not going to dwell on that, but you can find the information you need on that. Let me give you some examples of why WAGS is such a problem. Okay, WAGS is a major player on the international scene. Again, they're part of this global sisterhood, but more than that, they're part of the effort, the development efforts in all sorts of underdeveloped countries. Efforts to improve the standing or stature of and health of girls and young women in particular in these foreign countries. However, what is their approach? People, you avoid HIV, by using all the protection you want and being able to negotiate safer sex. You you maximize a young girl's health by making sure she doesn't engage in childbearing too early. How? Contraception, access to abortion. That's one of their big words, access. You gotta have access and you gotta have information. They sound like really innocuous things. It's a radical pro-abortion position. So, as an example, just this past month at the Rio conference, focus was on sustainability, environmental concerns. WAGS was there, and they developed their own messaging paper. And one of their key messages about what's at the heart of environmental sustainability, what's at the heart of it? Comprehensive sex ed. Access, universal access to reproductive health services, which is clear from all the other stuff they've written. It's clear. They're talking about abortion. They're talking about girls having access to safe abortion as opposed to unsafe abortion. It's got to be legal. So they put this out there. Now, they're not dumb. They did a shortened version of these key messages that was also available. If you're a busy person, what are you going to look at? You click on the shortened version. Shortened version didn't include this. Okay, if you went on the WAGS website, it was really light touch, even acknowledging what they're involved in. Yes, their girls are there. They talk about, oh, our chances to make our voices heard. All this fluff. They don't say what they're talking about. They were part of a young woman's caucus that was really instrumental in coming up with a statement advocating for the inclusion of reproductive health language in the final Rio document, The Future We Want. That language was blocked by the Vatican, or at least the worst of the language. It still talks about aiming for or encouraging, but not ensuring, access to reproductive rights. But they were on the other side. And the Catholic Church is supporting Girl Scouts, welcoming them into their parishes. When the Girl Scouts are funding WAGS, when the Girl Scouts, it's interesting, as I'll show you on some of the next slides, the Girl Scouts facility in New York is right there, okay? The UN is in New York, the Girl Scouts facility is there. Where does WAGS go to do their training for these girls who come and are going to learn how to advocate on behalf of what women think and what girls say at the UN? They go to the Girl Scouts place. The Girl Scouts welcomes them, they host them, they provide their training materials. They're supporting that. They are not ignorant, they're not taking no position. They just don't want you to know what they're doing. So, is WAGS really that bad? The phrase that the Girl Scouts advocates use is, this is guilt by association. WAGS may do some of this stuff on the international scene, but it's guilt by association. Well, no, it's not. You are associated. They are guilty. But more than that, you are taking an active role. You are funding them. You are promoting them. You are allowing them to speak for you and saying nothing to oppose that. That's not guilt by association. You're complicit. You're supporting. You're completely engaged in what they're doing. One of the other things that the WAGS delegates succeeded in pushing at the Rio conference was language that specifically noted that governments should rely on non-formal peer-to-peer education. This idea of non-formal education means organized activities that occur outside of school. Okay, it's not traditional school. But it's not, you'd think non-formal, that means sort of random, like informal. It doesn't. It means it's not school-based, but it's organizationally based. And so one of the things that's happening on the youth front internationally is all these organizations are clamoring for youth voices to be heard and for the governments and the population programs and the health programs to work through these peer-to-peer non-formal education routes. Why? Because then they get funding, and they get access to girls, and they get societal approval. So they are succeeding there, because people are not awake and realizing that this whole push to recognize non-formal peer-to-peer education is just a way to fund these organizations that have a reproductive rights agenda and get them out there talking to the girls. And it's very effective. I looked on the WAG's website. When you dig into it and look at their regional websites, the programs that they run for girls at the local level are really effective. If you have a young girl in Africa and you have her peer come in who speaks confidently and tells them all about safe sex and negotiating this and you know the condom this and the pill and here's where you go to get access to your reproductive rights, they're going to listen to that 17-year-old girl. Okay? It's not their mother scolding them. So it's very effective. It's very dangerous, very insidious. So WAGS is that bad because their agenda, they say they've moved away from sort of just the health focus to promoting the UN MDGs, the Millennium Development Goals, which talk about ensuring education, fighting poverty, all that sort of thing. The thing you have to understand, for WAGS, just like for so many of the women's players, the essence of what they are trying to accomplish, the central plank, the thing that they will not be happy with unless it is included, is sexual and reproductive health and rights. They consider that integral to everything, every development effort that's being done on the international stage. Okay, so Girl Scouts USA plays a huge part in that. They help WAGS do that in very practical ways. But to the girls, you know, you may be thinking, okay, well, that's theoretical or that's detached, that's distant from my girl who shows up at the parish and opens her cute little book and makes some crafts and whatever. Part of the problem is that WAGS is not like taking your kids to the soccer store and they just buy shoes and they go home. WAGS is not like going down to 7-Eleven and buying gum. Girl Scouts. The whole point of Girl Scouts is to provide the girls with something they identify with, something they belong to, with role models and mentors who they want to be like. So it's an entirely different thing. It matters that the girls hear from these role models like Kathleen Sebelius. It matters. Because they're not likely to dismiss it in the same way that they might dismiss someone they don't engage with all the time. But here's the other thing. In the Girl Scouts materials, at their conventions, on their website, they're continually promoting WAGS. Okay, it's part of the travel destination for the older girls. They have four what they call cabanas, these places where you can go when you're a teenager for advocacy training, leadership training. Doesn't that sound great? International experience. And what Ana Maria Chavez said recently when people said, you know, you're getting all this criticism about WAGS, would you think of pulling out? And she said, no, these relationships with girls in other countries are so important. Okay. What do they do when they get there? Leadership is not, we don't want leadership in a vacuum. You know, the communists used to take new recruits and put them on a street corner and make them stand there to get hardened and be good at delivering the message. You can become a leader for a really bad idea. And when you read the blogs of these young girls who are sent out to these UN activities or these international activities, speaking on behalf of WAGS, and the U.S. is always sending someone. In other words, there's someone who started in Girl Scouts who achieves that ability to go represent 10 million girls worldwide. These girls are so thrilled with the idea that they're leaders. They're on the world stage. Their voices will be heard. They're having an impact. But nobody bothers to say, wait a minute, is that a good idea? And in fact, I just got to show you this. Interestingly enough, at the UN Commission on the Status of Women was held in, I think it was February of this year, and WAGS did its usual thing. They had their delegates who were attending this write little blogs. Well, I think they didn't quite vet those blogs well enough because I thought it was very interesting to read what one delegate had to say, Haley from the UK. She complained that the girl-only spaces, that's when the girls are supposed to get together to sort of decide what they think. And I know from reading the stuff, they're not in there by themselves. The WAGS leadership and the people from the other youth coalitions, the grown-ups, are in there presenting them with written statements that they want them to buy into. The purpose of getting these girls together is to get them to be rah-rah and to train them. In one of the other WAGS blog posts, they were talking about the role playing, where they would give the girls the messages, have them role play getting those messages out. But I thought this was just really rather interesting. She just complained outright. All too often, words are being put in our mouths. That's the problem. And that's what it's all about. Because the people with the agenda want to speak on behalf of a constituency. And they can claim a very large constituency, these 10 million girls. Anyway, so UN advocacy, just a few other events that WAGS was involved in. Again, in February at the Commission on the Status of Women, they came out with a very explicit statement in support of sexual and reproductive health and rights. The AIDS 2010 conference, it was held in Europe. WAGS hosted something that they called the Young Women's Networking Zone in the Global Village. It was a place that was just full of, it was meant to attract people who are HIV positive and reduce stigma, and WAGS was promoting their HIV AIDS education toolkit. I mean, you can see from the quote, they advertising demonstrations of female condoms, you know, things related to female parts. I mean, the whole thing is, it's sex saturation. It was just disgusting. But that's what some of the girls can aspire to. They can go represent WAGS at the AIDS 2010 conference. Here's another example of some of the advocacy that young WAGS delegates get to do. This young woman, Julie Fink, represented WAGS December 2010 at a climate change conference. And there's a video that you can access. You can find this through any of the resources that I gave you. Anyway, in this video, she's talking about how, as they're advocating for climate change, the importance of insisting on sexual and reproductive health and rights as fundamental to sustainability and the success of climate change. I know, you're looking at me like, what? How do you make that connection? Why? Because here's the messaging. Women and girls are disproportionately affected by climate change and lack of sustainability. Because women and girls in rural areas are the ones going and getting wood, and they have to travel farther if there's to light the fires. They have to travel farther if there's drought and weather-related events. And then, because they're traveling farther, they're more susceptible to being victims of sexual violence. And so it all comes down to girls being regarded as equals and getting an equal education, which if they need to do that, they've got to have their sexual and reproductive health and rights, because a woman cannot succeed, and here's the language WAGS uses, she cannot reach her full potential. WAGS is all about girls reaching their full potential. She cannot reach her full potential unless she can control when to have children and how many and if. Therefore, it's essential to women's development, to women's reaching their full potential, to economic and environmental sustainability, for women to have their sexual and reproductive health and rights secured. It's just crazy. Anyway, so she ends up in this video, she's talking about how she was introducing the notion of condoms to these young girls, because again, they use these cute young women to talk to 13, 14, 15-year-old girls. And she left the room and came back, and these girls, she found out later on, had decorated their dorm rooms with condoms that they had blown up like balloons, so there were condoms hanging everywhere. And she was thrilled. She was like, oh, they're so comfortable. You know, this is good. This is what we're aiming for. Is that really what we think is a good thing? She does. WAGS also has a close partnership with International Planned Parenthood. It goes back to that whole idea of they're part of the global sisterhood of women's rights advocates, women reproductive rights advocates. So this was from a International Planned Parenthood Federation annual report speaking about their 5 years of close collaboration with WAGS. And there is other documentation that goes back to the early 90s showing that WAGS has worked in a sustained way with the International Planned Parenthood Federation. Why? Because WAGS is good on the ground. They've got troops on the ground. They go into these girl guides groups in all these developing countries, and they deliver. They deliver that message that Planned Parenthood wants to get out. Just a few little things. Their HIV AIDS toolkit, which they got UN support, especially to give out to refugees. They created a program called HARP, where they were helping to fight AIDS, as you can see, the cute little graphics of a pink condom, these other parts of the toolkit. Don't be silly, wrap your willy. Is that the attitude we think is really cool? you know? Well, cool, if that's really what you're aiming at, to be cool. Is that the attitude we want to instill in our girls about sexuality? Wags doesn't have a problem with that. All right, money flow to Wags. This is a real important point because it is part of the conversation out there. There's been a lot of attention paid to the question of whether Girl Scout dues actually go to Wags. Does Wags, when you pay your $12 dues, or maybe in some places they up it to 20, when you pay your dues, does Wags get any part of that? If you're a little Catholic girl at St. Veronica's Parish, and actually we don't have a Girl Scout troop at you know, some other parish, and you belong to the Girl Scout troop, does your little $12 get sliced and diced so that Wags gets some of that? Are you actually supporting Wags' reproductive health agenda? Well, in truth, yes, because Wags gets money from the Girl Scouts based on simply how many girls the Girl Scouts has. So for every new Girl Scout, Wags gets more money. And where do they get this money? It really doesn't matter. That's why it's a shell game. As we know in dealing with Planned Parenthood, it doesn't matter if they sequester funds and say, okay, no government funds are going to go to provide the abortions, they'll just go for mammograms. You simply free up other funds for them to use for those wrong purposes. So Wags' latest statement is that, well, no dues go to Wags, or not Wags, I'm sorry, the Girl Scouts' latest statement is that no membership dues are paid to fund Wags with that membership quota. We use investment funds. Well, it's a shell game. Okay, first of all, it's a very vague assertion. Investment funds from what? If it's investment funds, were they funds that were originally generated from money that, you know, came from the girls? And girls don't donate, and families don't support Girl Scouts only by that $12 dues. Wags, or Girl Scouts, keep saying Wags. Girl Scouts, in the 2011 annual report, they collected over $20 million in Girl Scout merchandise fees. Okay, everything they sell, Girl Scouts is getting a piece of. That goes into the pot that they're going to fund Wags with. What else? We as taxpayers, we're funding the Girl Scouts. Okay, they received over $2 million of grant money reported in the 2011 annual report. $2 million. Another way that Girl Scouts collect money, which they deliver directly to Wags, is something they call the Juliette Lowe Friendship Fund, where they encourage girls to do fundraisers and to make donations on World Thinking Day as to be part of the global sisterhood. They give money to this fund, which then the Girl Scouts turns around and gives to Wags. So there's a multi-layered money trail from Girl Scouts USA to Wags. And again, there's plenty of documentation on those website resources that I gave you. This is just to identify the issues, let you know these are out there. Okay, Coalition for Adolescent Girls. This is sort of a sleeper here. Coalition for Adolescent Girls, as I mentioned earlier, is just a bad organization. They aim to fight poverty using the sexual and reproductive health rights agenda. One of the things they propose is that girls at the age of 12 should have a check-in, that doctors should presume that when a girl comes to them at 12, parents stay out, the doctors will then address issues of sexual and reproductive health. That's what they propose on a worldwide scale. That's what Girl Scouts belongs to. They belong to this coalition. Again, mute. Have they ever distinguished, dissented from, disclaimed any of these activities? Not once. Not once. And I submit to you, they cannot do that with the Coalition for Adolescent Girls because that's what this coalition is about. It's all pro-abortion members. They're fighting poverty, but reproductive health and rights is an essential plank in their poverty-fighting agenda. Other issues. The transgender issue got a lot of play. The Girl Scouts have said one of their important values is inclusion. So they will consider the issue of transgender children being welcomed into troops on a case-by-case basis. Care, I mentioned that before. Curriculum, just one point, just to give you a local level view. This was a slide just showing the connections with the sexual and reproductive rights agenda in one Girl Scout council in Florida. They received money from Planned Parenthood. They were part of a coalition, First Coast Girls Initiative, which promoted contraception, LGBT issues to girls or to leaders. You know, on and on. It's just, that's an example of local level, how this translates down. Curriculum. You've got those resources that detail all the problems. This is just a little summary showing you the kinds of issues that you will find in there. Recommendations of inappropriate movies, inappropriate books, promotion of WAGs, population control organizations. This is one of the things I personally found most offensive in the book on advocacy that they have for teenagers. They say, if you want to explore advocacy, check out these five organizations. They're all pro-abortion organizations. And they did not take out that reference when they made their corrections. They have no intention of reducing this connection of advocacy to the reproductive rights agenda. Okay, there are a couple of final thoughts as I wind down here. Personally, I know this view is not shared by everybody, but I think it's indefensible for the Girl Scouts to even say they take no position on sexuality and abortion and reproductive rights. It's the defining human rights issue of our time. That's what abortion is. They are willing to come out and take a stand against slave trafficking. They're willing to come out and take a stand about environmental safety, about food security and poverty, important issues. They think it's defensible to say nothing about the most important human rights issue of our time? Would we have accepted someone as a credible shaper of our children's character if they said, civil rights, we take no position on that. Racism, we take no position on that. Would we accept that? And this is where it comes back to the fact that WAGs, or Girl Scouts' mission is, in their own words, to shape girls of confidence, character, and courage who will make the world a better place. If you're going to be about building within our daughters confidence, courage, and character to make the world a better place, I think you need to be willing to take a stand on the most important human rights issue of our day, which is abortion. I've spent a lot of time on WAG's connections and how they weave reproductive rights through the environmental agenda, climate control, and all that kind of stuff. One important thing to realize is this month in July, coming up in July, WAG's and Girl Scouts USA are co-hosting in Chicago the Girls World Forum. It is to get the girls involved in supporting three of the Millennial Development Goals, including environmental sustainability. What do we know about WAGs? Their view is that environmental sustainability depends on sexual and reproductive health and rights. And so here is a vivid example of Girl Scouts and WAGs holding hands. There's almost every council has sent at least two girl delegates to this forum, or will be sending two girl delegates to this forum, to go and take part in this giant celebration of the and action-oriented convention promoting climate control, sustainability, environmental, you know, development from the WAG's perspective. From the WAG's perspective. I don't see, you know, to me, there isn't any more connection that you would need. So what do parents want? You know, you're probably thinking, well, what do? We like activities for our girls. You want things that help your daughter be a leader. You want things where they have fun. That's the s'mores. To my kids, s'mores equals fun. You want things that encourage them to be selfless, to volunteer, to really work to make the world a better place. You can find that elsewhere. Girl Scouts is not doing that, because what they are saying to your girls is either that it doesn't matter, an issue like abortion doesn't matter, or they say one thing. There's that truth and labeling thing. They say we take no position, when in fact they do, because they fund, promote, support, engage, have relationships with the whole crowd whose life's work it is to support sexual and reproductive health and rights, i.e. abortion. Okay, that's where Girl Scouts is coming from. It's a disconnect between what they say and what they do. And what they don't say is just as important to know and to be aware of. So alternatives. And again, I have no tie-in to any of these groups, so I'm just pointing out two of them. There are alternatives. The American Heritage Girls has exploded as people have become aware of the problems with Girl Scouts. American Heritage Girls affirms, begins with an idea that there is a God and there are certain things that are true. And it's not promoting any particular faith, but it's, from what I'm told, an excellent experience for girls. So, final thought, your resources, make sure you look at that. Do your own homework. You know, I'm not standing here to say you have to take my word for it. The evidence is out there. The evidence is out there. But don't be snowed. Don't fall for the red herring. And most of all, remember that your girls need to know, they need to belong to a community that recognizes what's important, that values the sanctity of human life. They will not find that in the Girl Scouts. So, thank you.